Well, please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of John, John chapter 19, and we'll be reading verses 14 to 30. John chapter 19, verses 14 to 30, and a little later on I shall be focusing particularly on what our Lord cries out in verse 30, just before he bows his head and gives up his spirit, the cry of "It is finished." But we shall read from verse 14 of John chapter 19. Let us hear the word of the Lord. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. Pilate said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. So they took Jesus, and he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." When the soldiers had crucified Jesus, they took his garments and divided them into four parts, one part for each soldier, also his tunic. But the tunic was seamless, woven in one piece from top to bottom. So they said to one another, "Let us not tear it, but cast lots for it to see whose it shall be." This was to fulfill the scripture which says, "They divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots." So the soldiers did these things. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said, to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there. So they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. For many people, the death of Jesus on the cross is a tragic failure. It is a somewhat sad and pathetic end to an exemplary life. That's the way many people view the cross, but that's not the way that Jesus himself understands the cross. He actually understands his death upon the cross as the pinnacle of all of his achievements. That's what his cry of "It is finished" shows. This is not the cry of failure. This is not the cry of tragic loss. This is the cry of victory, of success, of triumph. This is Jesus saying to God the Father and to a watching world, "My work is now done. It is complete. It is indeed finished." You might know how when you come to the end of some grueling challenge, whether it's a hard piece of work or maybe running a marathon, if you've ever done that, or mastering some hard piece of music. When you come to the end of some grueling challenge, you might say something like, "Now it is done. Now it is complete. Now, finally, it is finished." And that is what Jesus is saying here on the cross, just before he gives up his spirit. He is saying, "Now I have done everything that my Father gave me to do. Now it is complete. It has been accomplished. It is all finished." That is what Jesus is saying here on the cross. But what does he mean by this? What does he mean when he cries out, "It is finished"? Quite obviously, he means that his earthly life, with all of the sufferings attendant to it, they are now at an end. It is finished. He also means that his life of perfect obedience to the Father, whereby he did all of his Father's will perfectly, that is now finished. That is now at an end. What's more, all of the promises, all of the prophecies, all of the types and ordinances of the Old Testament scriptures, they have now been fulfilled in him. They are finished. They have all reached their resting point in Jesus' crucifixion. But more than anything else, what Jesus' cry of "it is finished" means is that the whole work of salvation that he came to accomplish has now been completed. It is now accomplished and finished. After all, that's what the whole of his life and all of his sufferings were geared towards. They were geared towards saving his sinful people. That was the mission that his Father had sent him upon, to which Jesus was perfectly obedient, the mission to redeem lost sinners. And that, of course, is what all of the promises and all of the prophecies of Scripture were anticipating. They were anticipating, looking forward to the Savior of sinners. And it's this that has now been finished. The whole plan, the whole work of salvation has been brought to completion by Jesus' death on the cross. And what I want to do this morning, just very briefly, is look at two fundamental things that this salvation comprises. First of all, it is salvation from your sins. When Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," he was saying to his people, "All of your sins have now been dealt with. You have been saved from your sins." You see, when he died on the cross, he died as a sacrifice, a substitutionary sacrifice who takes away all of the sin of all of his people. All of your evil thoughts, all of your lustful desires, all of your harsh words, all of your pride, all of your jealousy, all of your selfishness, all of your anger, all of your lies, everything that makes you guilty before God, everything that incurs God's holy wrath, everything that leaves you liable to hell, everything, all of it was placed upon the shoulders of Jesus. And it was all borne, all carried away by him. It was all paid for by him. It was all taken away by him. He drank the cup of God's wrath down to its very last dreg. And he paid for all of the debt of your sin. He paid for it in full. When Jesus cries out on the cross, "It is finished," he is saying, "I have saved you from all of your sins." There's a website called the National Debt Clock. The National Debt Clock. And this shows you how much the UK national debt is growing per second. You might want to check it out later on. It shows you how much the UK national debt is growing per second. Do you know how much our national debt is increasing every single second? It's going up by £5,170 every second. And you can see this ticking over, over and over and over, just increasing, increasing, increasing. Every second, another £5,000, another £5,000, another £5,000. And apparently now our national debt exceeds, I think it's £2 trillion. If we had our own sin debt clock, it would be ticking over and over and over, increasing second by second by second, getting bigger and bigger. 1,000 sins, 10,000 sins, 100,000 sins, 1,000,000 sins, 1,000,000,000 sins, 1,000,000,000,000 sins. Could go on and on. We owe to God a mountain of debt. Debt that could fill 1,000 oceans. And we cannot pay it off. We cannot discharge that debt. But Jesus can. And Jesus has. He has cleared away the clock of your sinful debt. Christian, are you guilty before God today? No, you are not. Christian, are you condemned by God today? No, you are not. Christian, does God count your sins against you today? No, he does not. Are you under his wrath today? No, you are not. Might you somehow end up in hell when you die? No, you will not. Why? Because Jesus cried out upon the cross, "It is finished." He saved you from your sins. But secondly, when he cried out, "It is finished," Jesus was also saving you for life with God. That's the second thing that I want to briefly consider this morning. How not only have you been saved from your sins, you have also been saved for life with God. You see, were created to know God. That's the whole purpose of your existence. You were created to enjoy life with him, but sin broke that fellowship with God. It broke that life with God for which you were intended. But when Jesus took away all of your sins, he restored you, believing Christian, he restored you to fellowship with God. He clothed you with his righteousness. He made you perfectly acceptable to God, perfectly accepted by God. He fitted you for God's family. The life that he himself, as the eternal Son of God, enjoyed for all eternity, he has now given to you. He died. Why? So that you might live. Just a week or so ago, I think, you'd have probably seen this on the news, an Islamic terrorist stormed into a supermarket in southern France, and he held a number of hostages at gunpoint. I think earlier on he'd hijacked a car and killed the driver, and then he stormed into this supermarket. And some people apparently managed to escape, but the terrorist held one woman back as a human shield. He held her at gunpoint. And it was at this point that a police officer, a man called Arnaud Beltram, volunteered to swap himself for her. He said, I shall come in to the supermarket as long as you let her go. And that is exactly what happened. Arnaud Beltram walked into the supermarket. The woman came out. And seconds later, this police officer was shot down dead by the terrorist. Beltram gave up his life so that this woman and, I believe, several others could live. He died so that they might go free. It was a remarkable sacrifice. And that is a picture, isn't it, of what Jesus did on the cross for you. He, as it were, bore, if I can put it this way, the bullets of God's wrath against you, his holy wrath against you. He said, "Let me take their place. I will die instead of them, so that they might live." "It is finished" means not only that you have been saved from your sins, you've also been saved for life, eternal life, in glory with God. This is what Jesus has done for you. He has done it. He has, by his death on the cross, saved you from all of your sins. He has, by his death on the cross, purchased life, eternal life with God for you. He has done it. Please note that. It has all been accomplished by him. There is nothing for you to do. There is nothing that you could ever do. Jesus did not say on the cross, "It's nearly finished." He did not say on the cross, "I've now finished my bit. You just have to do yours now." No. He cried out, "It is finished. It's all been done." He has accomplished the whole of your salvation. Let me finish by reading out this quote that I came across this past week by J.C. Ryle. He says, "We rest our souls on a finished work if we rest them on the work of Jesus Christ the Lord. We need not fear that either sin or Satan or law shall condemn us at the last day. We may lean back on the thought that we have a Saviour who has done all, paid all, accomplished all, performed all that is necessary for our salvation." Isn't that wonderful? We can lean back on the thought. We can rest in the wonderful assurance that we in Jesus Christ have a Saviour who has done all, who has paid all, who has accomplished all, who has performed all that is necessary for our salvation. This, my friends, is your Saviour. Isn't he a great Saviour? Brothers and sisters, Jesus cried out, "It is finished." Let's pray. Now we thank you, O Lord, that you cried out from the cross, "It is finished," and thereby proclaimed that you had completed the whole work of salvation. We thank you that you have saved us from all of our sins. We thank you that you have saved us for eternal life with God. We thank you that you have done this for us. We have done nothing. The only thing that we have contributed is our sin, but you have taken it all away. You are our perfect, our complete Saviour. And this morning we give you our praise. Amen.